This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com. You can find me on the web at drmeg.com, drmeg.com, or just call me at 310-306-9127. Yes, that's a new telephone number. I am now living in Marina Del Rey by the ocean. Oh, so lovely. Yeah, he is right, and that was my guest putting in his 2 cents. Today I have in the studio with me Dr. Colby Forman, who is internationally recognized as one of the foremost trainers, educators, and practitioners in the field of psychoneurology. Dr. Forman is the Dean of Barron University's School of Psychoneurology and Integrative Medicine, President of the American Board of Psychoneurology, past President of the Institute for the Study of Advanced Psychological Practice, a Fellow for the American Medical Hypnotherapy Association, a certified trainer for the National Federation of Neuro-Linguistic Psychology, and is certified as a medical hypnotherapist through the American Board of Medical Hypnotherapy. He has studied, researched, and lectured at such notable institutions of higher learning as UCLA, USC, Oxford, Cambridge, Manchester, and Leeds. He received his training in neurolinguistic programming from Richard Bandler, co-originator of that discipline. Dr. Forman holds doctorates in both behavioral psychology and comparative religions, and is an ordained rabbi and Kabbalist. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So, great. Well, as you know, the first question that I ask all of my guests is, what significant life lesson led you to become who you are today?
Okay. Well, I'm sure most of your guests say so many things happened to help them become where they are right now,
or yeah,
be who they are right now. And that's been the case for me. I started training in martial arts when I was 3 and a half, and I've never stopped. So many masters and senseis and amazing people along the way. But one of the people who really changed my life was a student that I was working with when I was in grad school. And he was this quadriplegic, blind, African-American
young
man. And I was asked to work with him by the head of what was then called OSD, Office for Students with Disabilities. This was at UCLA. And she asked me as a favor, and I was curious why it was a favor. And she said, well, the last two people who had worked with him had quit. So I was interested, who was this person? And she said, well, let's just have you meet him. So she brought him up to me, and I could see that he really was quadriplegic. He couldn't move his arms or his legs, and he could barely speak. And he was considered blind, but he had very, very light vision. And what I found out, his name was Thomas. And I found out that Thomas was normal, whatever normal means, until the age of 12. In other words, he didn't have this challenge.
I see.
And his father was a football player for the Baltimore Colts back when it was the Colts.
Yes, that was a long time ago.
And Thomas, at the age of 12, was this promising young athlete who went and took a bath. And his father had left a television on in the bathroom.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. And he told him not to change the channel or do anything, not to touch the TV at all. And Thomas did.
Oh, wow.
And what happened was when he went to change the channel, he was wet. And he got electrocuted.
Oh, my goodness.
And he dropped down into the water, and the top of his head burned off, and his heart stopped. So his father heard this huge blast, and he came running into the bathroom and saw his little boy there, and he took him in his arms, and they called the paramedics, and they revived him. They were able to get his heart to start, but he was in a coma for 7 months. And when he came out, this was the way he was. So the interesting thing about this, what was so amazing, was that most people would have felt they would want to check out altogether. If you couldn't really move and you could hardly see and you could barely speak.
Yes. No kidding.
And, you know, I will tell you, of all the masters I've had the honor of studying with, Meg, this person was truly a master. He was one of the happiest people I've ever known.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
He always had this incredible light that shined around him. I actually dropped classes just so I'd have time to be with him.
Yes.
And, I mean, he did very well, by the way. He was accepted to Harvard Law School.
Wow.
And he's just an amazing being and a very good friend still. Mm-hmm. And we would stay up late up into the night talking about what makes a great woman, a great man, what makes mm-hmm. someone truly great. Uh-huh. And he stopped for about, when we were in the middle of a conversation, about 2 a.m. And he said, "Colby, do you really want to know the secret of being a great man?"
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Yeah, Thomas, I really want to know what you think, because this is truly someone I could see was great." And he goes, "The secret to being great," he said, "it's so simple."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "it's just being grateful." And he goes, "I'm so grateful for the people that love me and the people I have in my life that support me and all that I have."
Uh-huh. Wow. That puts a whole different spin on grateful.
Yeah.
It's greatness, being full of greatness.
Full of greatness, grateful.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that was a turning point in my life.
Sure.
Because
wow.
I realized when I'm grateful,
uh-huh.
when I live with an attitude of gratitude, I'm right on.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you just keep following it, and your gratitude expands, and your life gets better, and that's been a guiding directive of my life since then.
Wow, that is a beautiful, significant life lesson. I love how they come to us. You never know when they're going to come, who they're going to come through, how they're going to come, what's going to come of it. Is it going to be an arduous, difficult task for you to go through? Or is it going to be, you know, this moment where I imagine, I almost have this vision of this big light coming in, like
yeah.
the sun rising, when you hear that from this person who's really been through something that's very difficult to try to negotiate. So,
and he made it into something light. In Kabbalah, we call that chokhmah. It's this uh-huh. seminal flash where you just realize something so powerfully.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes it's hard to hold that light. Later we say, what was that? You know, it could be something like, "God, I love my sister." And
yeah.
then a week later you're like, "What do I love about my sister?"
Yeah, exactly.
But at that moment it was so real.
Yes.
And that made me realize when we'd read Shakespeare says the mind can make a hell out of heaven and a heaven out of hell.
Yes, it can.
That really made me realize that's the truth, that those things even now are inside us.
Yes, yes. Wow, beautiful teacher. Mm-hmm. You've had lots of teachers along the way, and you yourself have been an amazing teacher with Barron University and everything that you're doing there. So is this Barron University, what is the mission?
Okay, our mission, and it's our mission statement, and we say it several times when we're together, is mm-hmm. our mission is to educate and empower a new standard of heart-centered healer. Uniting the wisdom and the practices of the ancient masters with our newest understandings of the body, mind, and spirit.
Wow. The newest understandings of the body, mind, and spirit with ancient wisdom.
Right.
So uniting those two forces.
Basically, we're asking each student to be the living bridge where where that ancient wisdom meets leading edge technology.
Wow. And how long have you been around the school itself? How long
since I was born on the
floor? Now, how long has the school been around? How did it get started?
Well, it actually started about 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the Middle East for about 5 years. I was training a unit there in Israel known as the Golan Unit, an anti-terrorist unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking every 3 months on this type of transformational work that I do. And mm-hmm. I would speak at Oxford, Cambridge, Manchester, Leeds. And at one point, I was at Oxford, and a friend of mine, a colleague from Christ College, was mm-hmm. Asked me to get together with a few of our friends because his little sister was about to start her PhD, her doctoral program there. And you'd think we'd be celebrating, but most of us were really lamenting for her.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and a few MDs there, and a few of us were MDs and PhDs. We were sitting around and talking about, first of all, how little of what we actually learned in mainstream education do you actually use?
Oh, boy. That's a good question.
And those of us that were kind of leaders in our field, most of what we learned was in alternative education, was in other things that we took, continuing education. And the other thing was that the process itself was brutal. I mean, our dissertations were not things that ever could be read by the mainstream audience.
Mm. That's a good point. Or sometimes they're so technical and and difficult to get through, and sometimes even dry.
It's quantitative just like, analysis, exactly.
Yeah, so
I just blurted out at that moment, what would it be like if we actually had a program that was all the things you'd actually use? And what would it be like if your first dissertation was actually your first book, and it was taught in a environment that was nurturing and nourishing and loving? And they all kind of laughed and said, well, mate, we'll be your first students. Go ahead.
Ah, therein lies the challenge, right?
Exactly.
Wow. So it evolved out of that moment.
That's how we got started.
Wow. And then so did you begin right away establishing it, or was there some time between that moment?
I went back to the attorneys we had, and we had a huge cadre of attorneys for the Middle East peace process. I was a U.S. liaison for the Jerusalem Spiritual Peace Accord, which was one of the components of the peace process. There's actually many different peace processes, so there's no real one. But and I took about 11 of them out to dinner and pitched it, and 8 of the top attorneys really got behind the idea. And that's how we got started.
Oh, wow. Wow. And when we come back in the next segment, we're going to talk a lot more about Barron University and about being a student there and who's a great student and about your programs. We have a lot to talk about, don't we? We're making a list here. This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul. I'm in the studio today with Dr. Colby Forman from Barron University, and we can find him on the web. We can find the school on the web at www.gobugobu.org.
And bethelivingbridge.com.
Bethelivingbridge.com. Great. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com. You can find me on the web at drmeg.com, DocTorMeg.com, or just call me at 310-306-9127. Today I have in the studio with me Dr. Colby Forman of Barron University, and we have been talking about Barron University and what the mission is of the school and how the school got started from one conversation that said, hey, we need to change this. There's a problem here. This is how the world gets saved, right? So we started talking about that. And who is a typical student? Who would come to Barron?
Well, I'll tell you for one thing. First of all, there's no exact typical student, but there are certain qualities that a typical student has. And I think our first student was a good example of that. Our first student was a woman named Shoshana, who I met when I came back from East Jerusalem, I was exhausted. And just being in this presence of this beautiful soul, she was about 65 years old, just had this like white, beautiful energy about her, and was this amazing healer. And we became best friends right away.
Oh, that's great.
And she left me after 24 hours because she had to go to Australia to help a young girl who went from 150 pounds, she was about 5'11", down to 98 pounds. She was on IVs to keep her alive. She was anorexic.
Oh.
And Shoshana lived with the family for about 3 weeks, changed the whole dynamic. And when she came back, she had gained almost 30 pounds and eventually completely recovered.
How interesting.
And I found out that Shoshana had done this with many different people. So she was naturally a healer. She was somebody who was called to be a healer.
Right.
But she was such a spiritual, heart-centered being. She was not the kind of person who ever would have been shoved through the mainstream academic kind of process that my colleagues and, you know, so many of us were.
Right.
And yet she was really a gifted healer. And I remember talking about these things with her, and I said to her, you know, what do you tell people you do? And she goes, well, I tell people I love. And I said, does that work? And she said, well, sometimes. And just as luck would have it, there in Jerusalem, there's always a party. There's Ramadan, or somebody's getting married, or bar mitzvah, or something. And we were standing there together, and a gentleman came up to me asking for help for his daughter, who we knew was in some real challenges. And I said, Morty, I'm so sorry. I'm hardly sleeping, and I'm leaving in 2 days for another speaking tour. And I said, but Shoshana here could help you. And he said, okay, thanks. And he kind of just took off. I caught up with him, and he was going to bring his child to another physician we both knew, who was a psychiatrist who really heavily medicated kids. And this was the last thing that would have been good for his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I would maybe go to Shoshana. He said, but I don't know what she does. I need somebody with training, somebody who's a professional like you. Shoshana became our first student. And we choose mm-hmm. those kinds of people, people that are heart-centered, that uh-huh. have this desire to make a difference. And she makes us look good. She travels around the world. She speaks. She teaches. And she admits that maybe 80% of the clients that she touches now, she wouldn't be able to touch if she didn't have that recognition, if she wasn't Shoshana Lane, PhD, and a published author.
Uh-huh.
And so that's literally the perfect student. The students we have now, you know, one is owns a NASCAR race team. Another one is the dean of the School of Economics at NYU. Another one is a attorney for the NAACP. Another one teaches at NYU. And another one has the largest autism clinic in the Western United States. And, you know, they're just amazing people. One woman was a Cambodian refugee who escaped from, uh-huh. who you know, I think, actually, Julie.
Uh-huh.
Who escaped and reunited with her parents and
wow.
Wants to be a healer in the world. And another one is the trainer who trains Tony's trainers.
Robbins, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another woman is the most highly decorated woman in law enforcement. And another one's still a producer. So
uh-huh.
they're very diverse.
Yes,
but they're all
definitely.
Called to do something, something in the world. Mm. To make a difference.
That's great. So, and that's also, I think this I need to mention very quickly is that it is an online university. Anybody in the world can be a part of this school. There are teleclasses, and there's also, it's not webinars, but there's telecasts, basically,
right.
or webcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
And, yeah.
All this technology.
And live summits all around the world.
And
the
live summits.
The next one's in Sedona. The one after that is with Hunas in Maui. And
uh-huh.
yeah, we meet all around the world, and then you could be anywhere. Anywhere in the world watching that again on your iPod.
Oh, wow. That's great. So much. We have a lot to talk about. We're mm-hmm. going to go into psychoneurology in the next segment. This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com and with Dr. Colby Forman today. This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com. You can find me on the web at drmeg.com, drmeg.com, or just call me at 310-306-9127. Today I have in the studio with me Dr. Colby Forman from Barron University, and we've been talking about Barron University and their mission, and we talked in the last segment about who's a good student, and he's got lots of diverse individuals, healers that it sounds like it's great for healers too, that because to me it sounds like it's a great combination of the personality and the soul, that soul of the healer, having that the personalities and the human need to integrate human
yeah, it's
idea.
I would think so.
It's in degree.
The person is really called to heal or help.
Yeah.
I had the honor of meeting His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, for the work we were doing.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to ask him one question, and I said, To what does His Holiness really feel truly makes a healer?
Yes.
And he said what I feel. He said just really one who in their soul is called to heal.
Mm-hmm.
He said not necessarily someone with special powers or something like that, but someone who is called to make a difference.
Yes. Yeah.
And he gave an example of Mother Teresa, who was actually an ordinary person who brought themselves into extraordinary conditions in Calcutta and that kind
yes.
of thing. And that's when the human soul expands
mm-hmm.
to meet the challenge that it's there to do.
Yes.
You know, and that's what BU is about. It's really about finding a space for the good guy or the good woman or the good person.
Yes.
Who really is called to make a difference. It's much less oriented towards what your grades are. In fact, a couple mm-hmm. days ago, I interviewed one person from MIT who had stellar grades and an amazing master's degree, and another person who actually was a feng shui healer. And she goes, but I'm a healer. I'm not just feng shui. I help people with cancer, and I set up environments where they can heal. That's what I look for, is someone who will find a way
yes.
to be able to help and make a difference.
Okay. It sounds like you personally interview everybody too, huh?
Oh, yeah, I do.
To be students, that's great.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. And when I first did it, the first year, I interviewed over 180 people, and we took just under 12. We took 11.
Really? Wow.
And now, as things kind of flow better, the universe mm-hmm. is sending us more and more people that right from the beginning
uh-huh.
are are the right kind of people or the people resonating with it.
Okay. Well, great. You know, psychoneurology and integrative medicine, this is really the meat of what you all teach there. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what is psychoneurology?
Okay. Well, psychoneurology, the simple definition is it's a drug-free alternative to traditional psychiatric and psychological approaches.
Yay, I'm all for that.
And it's fundamentally different than psychiatry or psychology or something like that. Mm-hmm. Psychology is based on this medical model where we find something wrong. We define as a pathology.
Right.
And we work to negate the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Now, that process we call diagnosis and treatment.
Yes.
And it was based on technology that we had, that Freud had available to him about 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have me, let's say, operate on you with 100-year-old medical technology. We didn't even sterilize scalpels then, right? It'd be dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention you'd have saws and all kinds of nasty things.
Well, there's a number of thoughts that we had about the mind then that aren't true. For example, about the difference between our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. Mm-hmm. For example, the unconscious mind doesn't process negation. If I ask you, if you're listening to this right now, don't think of a white horse. It's the same as if I say, think of a white horse.
Yeah.
So whenever we're, unlike something where you get a cut in your skin and we can actually make that go away by closing the wound, if we're going to bring you to a different place inside you, inside your mind, we need to redirect you. Rather than saying, don't think of a white horse or don't think about depression or et cetera, how do we make depression go away? Instead, we say, think of a golden eagle. We redirect you in a different direction altogether. Mm-hmm. So because of that, let me give you a metaphor.
Okay.
Let's say you come to me and you say, Dr. Foreman, I want to change this thing about my life. I don't know. Let's say you want to be passionate about learning. I've never had something so simple. But if you did, and let's say I say, okay, well, there's this canoe here and where you want to get to is this mountain. All right. You say, well, do I just row the canoe towards the mountain? In my traditional psychological practice, I would have said, no, no, no. We have to find out why you're not at the mountain anyway. I mean, we have to go down these rapids over here first. And you go, but that's the opposite direction of the mountain. I say, yeah, that's true. But we have to figure out what the blocks are. Because the old theory was the only reason you're not where you want to be is because of the blocks you have getting you there. Well, I've got news for you. You could run east, be running east looking for a sunset. You could have no blocks. You still got a problem because you don't have a strategy that really teaches you how to get there.
Okay.
So let's say we're going down those rapids, and during that time, we go through your past, and we figure out, ah, your second grade teacher told you you were stupid. No wonder you're not motivated. I understand.
It's all clear now, right?
Right. And while we create, and as a good therapist, you'd say, wow, you're really good, because I would be coming up with these issues that maybe you weren't aware of. And the problem is, if we leave you in the middle of therapy, it is almost like walking away from a patient on an operating table and not closing them, because now you have all these issues and you have no ways to deal with them.
Exactly. I refer that to that as the hamster wheel that they get on around and around and around.
It's a negative cybernetic loop. It's another technical way to say it. But yeah, we just keep running.
I like that.
I like hamster wheel better, actually.
They just keep running around with the same thoughts over and over and over again until they're released.
Right.
But go ahead, tell us more about.
So they get, let's say if you do stick with that therapy in the average psychotherapeutic relationship, not all, but the average can be about 6 years long.
Yes.
Let's say you get to the bottom of those rapids. There isn't a lot of skill sets that are not negation oriented. In other words, there are not a lot of skill sets that teach you how to go to get what you want or to have it. Because the idea was, well, we've eliminated the blocks. But like I said, unless you actually learn an actual strategy, unless you have a resource.
Right.
So our approach in psychoneurology is different. Rather than diagnosis, we focus on something called calibration.
Oh, okay.
Calibration is, where are you now relative to where you want to be?
Okay.
So if you're going to book an airline reservation and you say, I want to get to Texas, what's the next question she's going to ask? She's going to ask, well, what's your point of departure?
Right.
That is what we look at. We look at your point of departure relative to where you want to go, not relative to putting it in a box and calling it a diagnosis. The reason why we have virtually 100% success rate with what would be called ADD or what would be called ADHD or OCD or even schizophrenia now, we're just starting to get into that field more. But a lot of the people we've done work or learned from, like Milton Erickson or mm-hmm. Richard Bandler, were considered to have unprecedented success rates with individuals diagnosed as schizophrenics or uh-huh. other pathologies, is because we're not being limited by that diagnosis. You see, 100 mm-hmm. years ago, there were 300 things that were called cancer.
Yes.
And so once they painted it with that brush, they tried treating it the way they treat all cancer, uh-huh. and they ignored all the other symptoms and the things that were going on, and that's why those individuals died.
Uh-huh.
So what we do is we do a process called calibration where we pay attention where you are mm-hmm. relative to where you want to go.
Okay.
And that is the only way you can get rid of a lifelong phobia, or the reason why our success rate is so high is because we're literally teaching the nervous system how to do something.
Okay. And you do that with a number of different techniques that you use?
Yeah. Techniques we call protocols.
Okay.
But the simplest way to explain it is teaching your brain and your nervous system how to do something differently.
Okay.
So, for example, I was working with a young man who was on Zoloft, Celexia, Prozac, Buspar, Wellbutrin.
Oh, my goodness.
He's 11 years old. That was his cocktail. And he was having panic and anxiety attacks in the morning so bad that at times he would actually vomit up blood.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And so his psychiatrist was someone who I'm familiar with, a friend, a colleague. And we were discussing this. And after the second session of working with him, well, basically, let me backtrack for a moment. I'm not interested in necessarily identifying his pathology. I'm identifying in what we want. And what we want is for this boy to be able to go through his life, go to school, and feel good inside and feel safe inside.
The way
he did when he was home. But when he would get away from his mother, he would go into massive panic.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have enough time to explain the protocols
themselves. Sure, no, that's fine.
But basically what we needed to do was help get those feelings, which is the resource of how good you feel when you're with your mom or when you're home and feeling safe and feeling good, and help bring those resources so he's experiencing those and feeling those when he's at school. And because the brain is wired to move towards pleasure and away from pain, if you give it an alternative, a resource, it will always take it.
Okay.
You see, the reason why, let's say I worked with battered women for about 7 years, and the reason why that particular woman is going with different men that always batter her, or alcoholic abusive men, let's say, or, you know, if you're a man, the other way around, is because, not because there's something wrong and you need to get rid of it. They've spent 15 years in AA or in different resources talking about the pathology.
Right.
They needed to introduce a new resource. If you add a new resource to that person, then they'll make different choices. But the unconscious doesn't know how to select resources. You have to know how to install them and have the technology to do that, to install a new resource. And maybe a little bit later I'll explain how that same process would be done by a Hopi shaman years ago. 200 years ago or so.
Actually, right now it's a good time.
Okay.
we got a few minutes in the segment, so.
Okay, all right. A good example would be one of our faculty is a man named Seeing Bear. And Seeing Bear and I were speaking about this concept, and he won't teach for UCLA, and they've requested him at the East Meets West program, although we teach over at UCLA, but he won't teach for NYU. He won't, you know. But he does teach for us, and we were talking about, because our structure is so similar, so he said, my father and my grandfather, when he was a shaman, if, let's say, a warrior came to him and he was afraid to defend our people, what my grandfather would have done was he would seek out a hawk, and in psychoneurology, we'd call that a resource, and he'd seek out a hawk that had the power and the courage that he was looking for, and he would extract the life force or energy with that hawk's permission from that hawk and bring it into that warrior until he could look into his eyes. We call that calibrating and see that he was seeing the battle through the eyes of the hawk.
Okay.
And then he could easily, boldly go and defend our people.
Okay. It's like the observer, or the position of the observer, being able to see the whole story, the whole thing going on. So it shifts the whole consciousness of...
Seeing Bear says that my grandfather would never say, when was the first time you became afraid?
That's
not helpful, right?
That's right.
Rather than defining, now you have fear and let's work with it.
Yeah.
It's rather, let's add the resources to you so you can make a different choice.
Exactly. And a choice from a place of power versus the choice from weakness. And that's what you're talking about, is that in psychology, you go back to that place of weakness, that weakest moment you went through.
Right, because it's an entirely different model, which is based on trying to get rid of something wrong. But our mind just doesn't work that way.
Okay.
The only way we can get to where we want to go is to add that resource.
Okay.
And we need to understand that. So, yeah, so in Sedona, this coming summit, we're going to have another shaman named Rolling Thunder, this amazing woman. And she is going to wake us up before the dawn and take us through the plant kingdom there.
Wonderful.
Of her ancestors, and show us those resources and show us how to use those things. And various rituals that we do, and they work perfectly with psychoneurology.
Wonderful. Yeah, there's resources everywhere. The earth has so much to offer us. It's just unbelievable. So in our next segment, we're going to talk some more about Barron University and about the programs that you have there. This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com. I'm with Dr. Colby Foreman today, and you can find him on the web at
www.bethelivingbridge.com and www.gobu.org.
Great. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Meg Hayworth, and you're listening to Life Lessons from Your Soul at BigMediaUSA.com. You can find me on the web at drmeg.com, drmeg.com, or just call me at 310-306-9127. I'm in the studio with Dr. Colby Foreman from Barron University today, and we've been talking about Barron and their mission in so many things. So just go back. You can go back and listen to anything you want to. What is the admissions process like, and what is education like at Barron?
Well, I was kind of touching on that as we went to break, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely experiential, and it's entirely personal.
Mm.
So, for example, I mentioned that we will be going and learning the way we would have learned 3,000 years ago. We'll be going out to the earth with a shaman and digging up a root and learning how that would be used. Now, during that process, she's not going to whip out a true-false multiple-choice test on phylum root structures, right?
That's right. You get a bio class for that, right?
Well, it is different. We do make sure you have a sound background. And our faculty is, one day you'll have an African tribal chief, the next day a Hopi shaman, the next day the chief of internal medicine at UCLA, Eliezer Wilson. So we're constantly integrating all those things together. And this is the first class in a millennia or more where someone will be talking about a process of psycho-spiritual development like Dr. Meg Hayworth and how that integrates. And someone could bring up a Chinese herb that we learned about, and someone would say, well, yeah, and we can do that with this Amazonian herb. And another person would say, and this Qigong technique would also increase that. And another person would say, yes, and that'll integrate perfectly with this other protocol that we're doing to bring about courage or self-esteem.
Okay.
It's the first place body, mind, and spirit will truly be integrated since, you know, David Carradine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He and his Sifu, his teacher, Cam Yun, were instructors at our program. And Cam Yun said, you know, 2,000 years ago, the healer was also the holy person, was also the priest and the warrior all combined. That is our program. It's truly about mastery on that level so that these individuals can go out and really help and heal and help people develop on all levels combined.
That's great. Wow. And it sounds like masters teaching masters.
Yeah, beautifully said. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And there's that reverence in the room that you feel when you're there as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's great. Oh, there's so much that you all offer. This program's really amazing.
I think it's the time
that
makes this available right now.
Yeah. So why do you think this is showing up on the planet now?
Well, I think 100, 200 years ago, it wasn't the time. And, you know, there's an understanding in Kabbalah, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote over 3,000 years ago in a book called the Bahir that by the year 5760, in the Hebrew calendar, the lower waters and upper waters would come together and mankind would reunite all the sparks and all the wisdom. That year is the year 2000 in the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
And this was over 3,000 years ago that was written.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Hopis also have, Seeing Bear tells us, the Hopis have a concept of the five colors coming together of all mankind and sharing their wisdom. And it's just about four years after that. Mm-hmm. We also know that the age of Aquarius, Yogi Bhajan shares with us, is just right around the corner. And these developments are all here. So really, these things are moving through us. But I'll tell you something. 100 years ago, you'd have to devote your whole life to learning a certain depth of knowledge in Kabbalah or Kundalini or Qigong. Mm-hmm. And now this is the first time in history where we can learn all of these things, get empowered and nurtured by them, and learn how to use them in service of others.
Mm-hmm. And learn a lot of different techniques from a lot of different ways of thinking.
And truly integrate them as well.
And integrate them, exactly. And I think, too, that in this time that learning itself is so much faster than it used to be. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Everything's sped up.
Yeah.
You'll notice.
Yeah, you look at technology. Oh, my God.
Everything's speeding up, and there are some sages that just, in fact, there's a man named Guru Nam, who's a Kabbalist from the Ivory Coast and a Kundalini guru, and he talks about how one day, a 24-hour day, is almost like 14 hours now, the way time is just moving quicker and quicker, which is why we have to make our choices and step forward with more directness than we ever did before.
Yeah, so come on board. Sign up at Barron, huh? That's right. So just if you can leave everybody with how to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Great.
Okay. And the way you'll know that this kind of thing is right for you is when it speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Our number is 877-BU-2-XELL, BU2XL, or 877-282-9355. And again, our website is www.bethelivingbridge.com and gobu.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate having you here.
Oh, my pleasure, Meg. And we're honored to have you as one of our amazing faculty, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited.